their thought about hope and what they put their hope in should be in God, but a lot of people don't. So I want to have you look up a few verses. You can write them down. You don't have to look them up, but I would suggest that you put them in your toolbox. You put them somewhere in your Bible, because you always need things to encourage you. So I'm going to call them out, because I've got 1, 2, 3. I got 7 different verses, so you can write them down, and then I'm going to read them. You don't have to chase after me, because I'm going to read them pretty quick. All right, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Jeremiah 17, 7. Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. And then Romans 15, 13. Romans 15, 13. Psalms 31, 24. Psalms 31, 24. Psalm 71, verse 14. Psalm 71, verse 14. And then Colossians, chapter 1, verse 5. Colossians 1, verse 5. And then Romans 15, 4. I had these in order, but then I found another and another. There was so many about hope, which it should be, because we need hope. We need something to look forward to every day. All right, I'm going to start with Jeremiah 17:7. And it says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." As Christians, we have hope. But so many millions of people, they have none. They really don't have hope. They don't know God. They just get by day to day. They rely on themselves. They don't have any hope. What makes us any different from everyone else? I ask myself that question just to rekindle some things in my own thoughts. And what I come up with is truth. Truth is what gives us hope. So what are we doing with the truth that we know about and hope? Tonight, after I'm done here, I would like everybody to think about what I'm going to talk about a little bit. I want you to leave here thanking God for all the hope He gives us, and share your hope with someone else who needs it. Because you never know who's looking at you, who's watching you. And if you've got that little twinkle or that extra pep in your step, that extra smile, that encourages people, whether you think so or not. And a lot of times they wonder who and what and why are you so different. It's because you have hope. If you're a Christian, you have the ultimate hope, because it's eternal. You should be a light and a joy to someone else, even when things are not so perfect for you. So in Romans 8:18 it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And in Romans 15:13 it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." We need to share our hope with our next generation. I don't know how many times you think about this, but I think about it with my own children. I think about it with teenagers, young men on the base. They're our next generation of hope. And if we don't leave them with hope, they're not going to have any. And the only way we can give them hope is share Christ with them and pass on what we know as being Christians and being saved, how to teach them to be saved and be Christians. So we have to do this. We cannot wait and stand by and think somebody else is going to do it. We have to do it. Psalms 31:24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Psalm 71:14, But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. How many times have you read the Bible and took it for granted that you have God's word in your hands? It's the truth. And it's the only truth. The truth that you should be sharing with other people. Not just yourself. And the last one is Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God has given us this. He's given us the hope that we need, not to, only to get day by day, but to share with others. And I'm going to keep saying about sharing with others because it is our duty and responsibility. It's not something we should just keep inside and be a miser and live to ourselves. We have to share that with others. And you've got to be the example, because you can't rely on anybody else to do that but yourself. In these verses and so many more, God is showing us that we need to trust and believe in His hope. We don't have to see it. As the Word of God is truth, so is the hope of eternity. We should take joy in His love for us that He gave His Word to us. We should praise Him and remember what He has and is still doing for each one of us. I'd like to talk a little bit about what hope means to me and how important it is to each of us. How we sometimes rely on ourselves for hope versus how much we rely on God for our hope. I know each of you probably have stories, probably have experiences. If you have got up yesterday and today, you have many stories, I'm sure. And tonight I'm going to share a couple with you that kind of got me relying more on God and putting my faith and my trust and my hope in Him instead of myself. I'm not different from anybody else here tonight, but I'd like to share a few experiences that woke me up and gave me a desire to give God my attention to hope. And I hope that by sharing with you my experiences, you can relate, knowing it is from trusting, not seeing, but trusting and believing. Growing up, I was kind of sheltered, I feel like I was, because it was a small town, and we had a lot of churches. It seemed like every block had a church, and everybody seemed to take care of each other. Somebody who got sick or needed food, groceries, somebody stepped up to the plate and provided for those people. And I grew up seeing that. And even in my school, we had discipline. But we also had prayer in school. We also had teachers that I usually seen at school or at church. And so it was a great time for me. So that's why I say I guess I was sheltered. But being sheltered sometimes doesn't make you aware of certain things. And that was something that kind of put a kink in things for me. But as I go on, you'll understand what I'm saying. We were kind of poor, but we were happy. We didn't have a lot of money, but we had things that made us happy. We grew our own garden. We had our own orchard. We had our own animals to milk a cow. We had our own pork. You know, we had everything we needed as far as eating. We had our clothes, but we just didn't have a lot of money to spend. But we were happy, and that's important more than money. I grew up in church my entire life, and I was saved in the early age of 5. I remember every detail and decision I made that revival night. It was clear, it was real, and a moment I've always cherished, and it set the foundation for who I am today. My parents taught me everything. And I needed to find answers. They always provided them. They always told me where to go and how to get them and how to get answers from God. That teaching and that direction put me on the right path. Yet, I feel like I took hope for granted as a little boy because I was self-absorbed in doing everything my way until my family became broken. I knew hope as, I hope I won't get a spanking for misbehaving, or I hope that I don't have to eat those onions. That was something I could not stand. My dad used to eat them like apples, and I just couldn't take it. I soon found out that was not the hope God intended for me. Instead, God wanted me to rely on Him and trust Him and have the hope that He gave me when I got saved. I surrendered that hope when it came time for decisions early in my life. The problem remains in this world, and we forget we don't have the strength to do this on our own. Every day of our life, we're challenged. And sometimes we forget God and try to do it ourselves. And God wants us to rely on Him, even the little things. Don't take something big, but usually the big things is what gets your attention. And that happened to me. By the time I reached 18 years old, I thought I was able to take on the world by myself because I was strong enough and spiritual enough, so I thought. That came to a screeching halt the day I graduated. I started work as an apprentice heavy equipment operator. It was a great job. It was good pay. But no time for God in church. Once again, I failed to realize I couldn't trust myself with hope. I took hope as what can I do for myself. It didn't take too long before another opportunity at learning was given to me. It was on a Sunday, storming weather with rain and lightning. I made a terrible decision going to work and moving across a wet surface on an excavator. I fell and landed between the body and the boom of the excavator. Normally not a problem, except the boom was retracting toward me. I lunged to clear the boom, but didn't make it. Time seemed to stand still for a brief moment until the pain broke me free. I was pinned and I couldn't move. I had just enough reach to throw a lunchbox at my stepbrother who was operating the excavator and get his attention. He panicked, left me to figure out what to do next. I told him to calm down and call 911 for help while I assessed the damage. It didn't look good. My main artery was severed. I realized this could be it for me. I immediately started talking to God. And asked Him to forgive me for being so foolish. It wasn't because of the accident, but why I hadn't been doing what He wanted me to do. And what I should have been doing, what He wanted. We talked, and God gave me a calm that I never experienced. God made everything more clearly than ever I'd ever knew. And He gave me what I had to say to Him. I told God I was ready to go home, if that's what He wanted. But if He would give me another chance, I promised I would do what He wanted me to do, no matter what it took to get there or how hard it was. God allowed me to know trust and hope that day. He showed me that hope was about Him, not me. Not only did He allow me to keep my life, but He allowed me to keep my leg. The doctor who operated on me, he just so happened to be there in town that week, and he was the only specialist in the country there. And he was there to train other doctors on that specific type of surgery that I needed to save my leg. When he came to me, he said he couldn't believe I was still alive because my main artery was severed and I was in the woods an hour. And to him, he said that was impossible because I should have bled to death. He asked me what I had done to stop the bleeding. I told him nothing. He said, well, who did it? And I told him God did. He said he'd never seen an artery close itself, and he walked away shaking his head. I knew what God done was between me and him. As for hope, I know what it means. I have had many lessons on God's hope since then. You too may have had similar experiences. Time after time, God has always provided, and he has always given me hope when there was none. So I thought, but he always gave me the hope that I needed to survive, to move on, to get up, dust myself off, and not only gave me hope, but I know he tried to instill, and he's always instilling in me the hope to share with others. Because as a Christian, we have a great life. Yeah, we have trials. We have problems. We have to help each other, and we have to help each other get up and dust each other off. But we have a great life because we know what's going to happen. We know that we have eternity in heaven coming our way. So what better hope in this world is that than knowing that you're going to heaven for eternity? So tonight, as I've shared a small portion of my experience, I want you to ask yourself, where is your hope? Is it in you, or this world, or is it in God? My hope is that you would settle that tonight. If you're already saved, then talk to your Savior and thank Him for your hope. If you're not saved, then take this opportunity to ask God into your heart tonight and get that eternal hope settled. Does everybody would stand?